The scripture reading this morning is from 1 John 4, verses 7 to 21. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. I invite you to be with me in an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you have given us, and thank you for how you're at work in our lives. We open ourselves now to being touched by your Spirit, to being guided by your love. It's in the name of the greatest love, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. You know, sometimes my timing is incredibly bad. You don't have to amen that. I mean, that was not one of those call and response points where you say, "Amen, preacher." I'll let you know. You'll know when to do that. I'll look at you and say, "Do it now." I was going over to Phoenix and going to do some visits. And one of the visits that I was planning to do was with Jim Van Slyke. I'm grateful, by the way, that Jim is back in Yuma now, praise God, and at Yuma Rehabilitation Center. So Yuma Rehabilitation Hospital, I'm sorry. And so we'll be getting a chance to visit him and surround him in our love and encourage him as he deals with his diagnosis of cancer. But we want to just continue to surround him in our love. And so he was all ready to go back to Yuma and all strapped in and ready to travel. And I had enough time to pray and say one phrase to him. Because, see, I drove from Yuma to Phoenix to tell him goodbye and hello, okay? And I had one phrase that I had to lay on him. I love you, man. I want you to go ahead and say that to somebody right now. I love you, man. I love you, man. This back row is stunned right here. They don't know what to do. They're just paused. They're just stunned. That is saying an awful lot, isn't it, really? And beyond everything else that we may feel we need to say to someone else, that is the key element. I love you. The very end of the scripture reading says this: the commandment we have from him is this, the commandment. Those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Loving God means we must love others. There's a story about a worker on one of the great cathedrals in Europe, a stone carver. Tedious work, long work. Working on one particular figure could have taken months, maybe even years. One section of the cathedral. And he happened to be working in an area of the cathedral that very few people would see. And another individual who knew about this and knew where he was working commented to him, "Well, nobody will ever see your work. Why do you continue to strive and endeavor and pour yourself into it?" And he said, "God will see it." For us, loving in the name of Jesus Christ is what we do when no one else is watching. It's what we do. It's how we share. It's what we offer. And we do it not looking for praise, not looking for anything except to glorify God in our lives. A love of God is what directs our actions and efforts in this life. And an imitation of the love that God sent is human love. Did you ever think about that? God sent love in a human form, Jesus Christ. And not that long ago, a few Sundays ago, we celebrated that love bursting forth into creation in a whole new way through Easter, through an empty tomb, an empty cross, and a Savior risen and alive and well, glorious. That human love that we can offer, that God works through us, can be just as glorious. And yet we might do well to not necessarily always expect glorious results. Sometimes whenever we offer love, what we get back isn't the same thing, or isn't what we count on or expect. And yet, we are called to simply follow this commandment. Those who love God also love others. It's a quote from William Sloane Coffin that goes like this: God's love doesn't seek value. Hear this. God's love doesn't seek value. It creates it. It is not because we have value that we are loved, but because we are loved, we have value. The love that abides in God is not a love that contemplates either purpose or results. In other words, since God first approached us, God's the main actor here. God's the one who first came to us. We didn't first approach God. Don't ever think that. God is the one that first approached us. Therefore, we are simply called to share our love without any planning in our minds to say, well, I'm going to get this result, or this is going to happen. Truly loving as God wants us to love means that we don't keep score. And there's a lot of freedom in that, isn't there? We don't keep score. We don't count, well, how many times did they say hi to me? Well, how many times did they give me the time of day? Or have they responded whenever I've sent them a card before or extended myself? We don't keep score. And that's a wonderful freedom. That's an awesome way to live, isn't it? Just simply to share love, knowing that God is going to replenish that love and give us more than to offer. Does that make sense? It might come in conflict with what the world says. Yeah, because the world keeps score. And the world keeps track. And the world is about resentments and hurts. But God's love just keeps giving. Just keeps flowing. You see, it is not possible to love God who is not seen if there is no love for the sister or brother who are seen. There's a phrase that Christians are called to live by. And it's a challenge, okay? But this is a phrase, one phrase. If you want to write it down, that's okay. If you want to remember it, that's okay. This is probably one of the more important things to remember from this message. Loving those in your line of vision. You understand what that is? Loving those that you see. Loving those, not that you want to run past somebody you don't want. Okay, I don't see them anymore, so I don't have to love them. They're behind me. I don't have to worry about them anymore. Pastor said I only have to love those that I can see, or going like this, walking around, or having blinders. Loving those that you see. It's a challenge, but that's a phrase that we can remember. Loving those in your line of vision. You see, the early Christian community took a rather mundane Greek phrase or Greek term for love called agape love. And they made it their own. Have you ever heard of agape love? Agape? It's a self-giving love. Those who have been on a walk to Emmaus or involved in Emmaus communities are very, very familiar with it because it's what the weekend of renewal is all about. By the way, if you're interested in walk to Emmaus renewal weekends, let me know. I can get you some information about that. For us, agape love means that we give it and we don't expect anything in return. We offer it, no charge. There you go. It's been given. You don't even have to respond. It's wonderful. And the early Christian community grasped onto that and made a common phrase, something that nobody really had thought about before. It was in use, but they made it their own. And that's what we are called to do today as God's church in this time and in this place. Another quote from Clifton Black says, God has decided in our favor. This is good. God has decided in our favor apart from our ability to reciprocate. Do you hear that? God has decided in our favor apart from our ability to reciprocate. Yeah! That's good news, by the way, folks. Gracing us with love prior to and independent of any response we might have. Gracing us with love prior to and independent of any response we might have. Now, that means that we must have faith. Indeed. If we're guided by fear, other things are going to happen, and other things will happen in the church. And a church that's guided by fear will have these things happen: distrust, suspicion, and resentment. A joyless religion is fruitless and loveless. That means people are not going to be touched. That means people are going to form into camps. There are going to be cliques. And people are not really going to be the body of Christ, but rather a club that meets in a place that calls itself the church. That, my friends, is an ongoing challenge, and it's an exciting challenge. Because all we need to do is be open to God's love, and when we're truly vulnerable to God's love, then those negative things, clubbiness, clickiness, will not happen, will not take place. Reverence in the awareness of God is a protection against sin. That's why sometimes I encourage people to go ahead and open up their hands like this, because it's a vulnerability. You know, if you're talking to somebody and they're like this, do you think they're open to hearing what you have to offer? Lay it on me. Yeah, I'm ready. I love you. If you're like this, there's an openness, there's a vulnerability, and there's a reverence to God. When reverence turns into fear, however, again, that issue of fear, religion becomes stunted, losing its grace and glory. That means we don't sense God's grace. God's grace is still there, but when we're basing a religion on fear rather than faith and on love, we're not sensing grace, and we're not going to be filled by God's glory here and now. Now, have you ever seen this phrase, caution, handle with care? Have you ever seen that on something? Caution, handle with care. Any amateur electricians here that like start poking, you know, things in? That's what happened to me, actually, and then it just all... No, that's not what happened to me. Caution, handle with care. Only the merciful are sure of mercy. Only the forgiving are sure of forgiveness. And only the loving live in the love of God. These words from the scripture today must be handled with care, because they challenge us. It's not some sort of saccharine message that's going to appear in a Hallmark card. This is very real, and it's very challenging, and it stretches us. If we offer mercy, we'll receive it. If we offer forgiveness, we'll be able to experience forgiveness. And if we offer love, then we'll be able to feel love. That doesn't mean that God's mercy and forgiveness and love are not extended to us anyways, but it means that we will experience it when we follow God's example in His creation. It's a challenge, certainly, and it's work, and it's effort, but it's worthwhile. The heart of the universe, this is a quote from William Self, is a pulse of mercy with infinite passion. God is love. And love is God's gift, not a human achievement. Love, you see, is powerful. Love is the most powerful force in all of the world. And therefore, oftentimes, it is the most challenging thing to be able to extend. And it requires us giving of everything we have. There's a story of firefighters finding a mother bird burned up on the floor of a forest that a raging fire had gone through and destroyed everything. Stripped the trees bare, left just embers burning, destroyed everything. And this mother bird was burned up in the fire. And they were wondering why in the world she would have stayed on the ground and allowed herself to be burnt and to die. And then they lifted her up, and underneath were her babies, still alive. Love is like that. The love of the cross is like that. God has covered us, even in our sin, even in our limitedness, so that the fires of hatred, the fires of sin, of brokenness would wash over us and we would be covered and protected. And after it goes by, this cover is lifted off and we are still alive. And it's all because of the love of God that has covered us and saved us to this very day.